It's time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens from UMU Nutrition here in Madison. And today, Amber, we're going to talk about nutrition and diabetes prevention.
You got it.
Sounds like an interesting topic. Then diabetes is something that's concerned with a lot of people that have it, and preventing it would be a good thing.
Absolutely. And this question comes up all the time in my office, that people are wondering what they can do if they have a family history of diabetes. They're wanting to try to avoid it. And like you and I were talking about before, diabetes prevention and diabetes management from a dietary standpoint don't look a whole lot different. But there are some things that we can do ahead of time that can make a really big difference. And I think one of the things that often prevents people from making change when it comes to diabetes prevention, as well as a lot of other health conditions, weight management, heart disease, all of those things, is sometimes people almost feel paralyzed around making the change because it feels like this lifelong commitment to giving up everything they enjoy, or it feels overwhelming because there's so much information out there. So people tend to seek out, you know, what's the easiest path here? What's the path of least resistance to getting my desired outcome? And unfortunately, when it comes to diet, it pretty much always requires a little bit of work. There are some supplements, and we can talk about those, but you can take all the supplements in the world, and if your diet isn't on point, it's probably not going to make a huge difference in the long run. So some of the things from a supplement standpoint that people maybe have seen are things like resveratrol and turmeric. Resveratrol is what we find. It's the antioxidant, or the polyphenol, or the phytonutrient, all those words that we use, that we find in things like red wine. That's one of the big places. But really, resveratrol is coming from a lot of our richly kind of purple-colored, sometimes reddish-colored foods. Wine, red wine is one of the more concentrated sources, so that's why we see a lot of research on red wine and prevention of certain types of disease. Now, the research never says to drink more than 1 to 2 glasses a night, and often less than that for people. And if you don't drink, the research never supports starting drinking. So that's kind of an important thing to keep in mind.
Okay. Well, you always hear people using folks over in France or something as being healthier than we are or something. Is that necessarily true?
You know, when it comes to chronic disease, they tend to be, but we have to think about the big picture, because they also eat, you know, when we talk about the French or Italian cultures, they eat a lot of carbs, right? And that's what we talk about often when it comes to diabetes. But they also walk a lot more. They also are going to the market more often for fresh produce. They're making things at home more and using fewer convenience foods than we do here. So
it might be more than just the red wine.
It is definitely more than the red wine. Absolutely. Absolutely. But resveratrol in food or supplement form certainly can be helpful if it's appropriate for you. Again, before taking any supplements, always want to make sure you talk to your care team to make sure they don't interfere with a health condition you have or a medication. Omega-3 fats, ALA in particular, has been shown to be helpful. Turmeric, like I mentioned. Turmeric you can just use to season your foods too. It is a great way to incorporate it. But if you don't like it on your food, you can certainly take a supplement. But again, we can't out-supplement a poor diet. So it comes down to a lot of the things that we talk about with, you know, increasing fruit and veggie intake, getting those good healthy fats, especially olive oil, the Mediterranean diet. But really what all of that is coming down to is measuring your blood sugar response and your insulin response. So every time we eat a food that contains glucose or a carbohydrate food, we raise our blood sugar. That's natural. Every single one of us, whether we have diabetes or pre-diabetes or great blood sugar control, all of us will see at least a slight increase in blood sugar from eating a carbohydrate. So grains, starchy vegetables, things like that that are really good for us. Whole grains, I should say, and starchy vegetables. But especially things like sugar-sweetened beverages, candies, desserts, any of those more simple carbohydrates, things that don't contain a lot of nutrition, things that don't contain a lot of fiber, those create the biggest increase in blood sugar. So when we take in blood sugar, when we take in sugar and our blood sugar goes up, then our pancreas responds with a hormone called insulin. Insulin, I always tell people, acts like a little key that opens up the door to our cells and allows glucose to be used for energy. Now, we're finding that we can have an insulin response in some cases, even when we're not eating glucose. So some of our artificial sweeteners can do that, can cause an increase in insulin, even though we haven't taken in glucose. And we're finding that that chronically elevated insulin, whether it's coming from excessive carb intake, especially from those refined sugars, or if it's coming from excessive use of artificial sweeteners, that chronically elevated insulin can really be a big problem too. So it's not just the blood sugar, it's the insulin level as well that we need to think about. So what we can do that helps us best regulate blood sugars from a diet standpoint is making sure that every time we're eating, we're really balancing our food. So if you're taking in a carbohydrate, oftentimes people think, I have prediabetes or I'm at risk for diabetes, so I can't have anything white. That's what I hear a lot. So I can't have potatoes. I can't have rice. I can't have pasta. You can, but we need to be thinking about what the portion size looks like on those foods. And then we also want to pair them with a fat. So when we eat fat, fat takes a lot longer for our body to break down, which means when we eat it with a sugar or when we eat it with glucose, all of that glucose is released into our bloodstream more slowly. So our blood sugar doesn't go as high, which means we don't have as big of an insulin response either. So anytime we can pair those carbs with fats, like, you know, the fat that we get from animal products is certainly a fat that would count here, but also our nuts and seeds, olives, avocados, oils, all of that kind of stuff counts as a fat as well. So if you have that pasta, having a good fat with it, like maybe a nut-based pesto sauce or maybe something with coconut milk in your sauce or, you know, a good animal product or meat or cheese or something like that can be a good partner too.
And top it off with a handful of chickpeas.
Yeah, there you go. Chickpeas, again, carbohydrate, but they're a great source of fiber. So that insulin response, that blood sugar response isn't quite as significant as it would be if you were having candy pop. And those sugar-sweetened beverages, hands down, those are going to be the biggest things that spike that insulin because, or that spike that blood sugar because there's nothing to slow them down from going into your bloodstream. There's no fiber, there's no fat, there's no protein. They're just going in, they're liquid, they're easily absorbed, and they really spike that blood sugar pretty high. So if you're looking for one single change, decreasing the sugar we take in through our beverages can be a great place to start.
You're not saying don't drink any of those, but you're saying moderation is the key here.
Exactly.
Right?
And if you do have
don't
something.
Don't have a six pack a day or anything like that.
Yes. And if you do have it, if you can have it with a handful of nuts, if you can have it with some guacamole or something like that, hummus, any of those kinds of things can really make a difference. And, you know, a lot of times when we make those changes, we do see weight come down because weight, overweight, obesity can be a risk factor for developing diabetes. But I think sometimes being thin gives, or not being overweight at least, gives this kind of false sense of security around health. And thin does not equal healthy all of the time. Weight loss does not always equal health gain. So it's important no matter what our weight status, no matter what our family history, it's important for us to be thinking about what those lifestyle factors look like that contribute to our health. And kind of the last thing, you know, this is really more of a societal thing than it is just an individual problem because a recent study just came out. It was just published in the Smart Brief that I get that loneliness can double the risk of diabetes. And that often is because of less healthy food choices because people tend to go to convenience foods, but it's also increased stress, which increases our stress hormones, which increases inflammation and subsequently increases the risk. So reach out to your friends, reach out to those people who are living alone, especially people who are maybe recently living alone or who are eating a lot of their meals by themselves. And that communal approach toward it can make a big difference too.
Right. Just a nice thing to do too.
It is.
Yes, right.
For more than just diabetes prevention.
More than just nutrition. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, Amber, appreciate a lot of good information once again on Taco Tuesday here. And how can they find you if they want to learn more?
Absolutely. You can go on Facebook and look up IMU Nutrition. That's IMU Nutrition. Or go online at imunutrition.com.
All right, and they can always call us here at the radio station. We can get in touch with you.
You got it.
We know where you are.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk again next Tuesday for another edition of Taco Tuesday with Amber Boyens. Thanks, Amber.
Thank you.